I want to commend everybody that your people have... Where's the ring coming from? That? I can hear a ring. Is it this little thing I have? Can anybody else hear a ring? Can you get rid of that? If not, I'm going to take it off. I'll use my man's voice.
I can't deal with the ringing in my ears. That's a little better. I got to commend everybody for their great faith. When I prayed this morning, I said, now, there could be a miracle. God could heal the preacher. And I suspect, from looking at the crowd, all of you are of great faith. You thought God would heal the preacher, and you came back. Whew. I got a couple different little things I wrote down here. One is, we talked about the cold weather. In fact, I was joking with the choir this morning before they came out. We all sing those openers, and the one we sang this morning, Sing the Clouds Away. And I didn't think of it soon enough, Brother Jubak. I would have had him sing the cold away. Sing his bound praise, you'll sing the cold away, pray the cold away, pray. I have a sick mind like that. Change those words around. In fact, I was telling the choir this morning, Wednesday night we sang What a Friend We Have in Jesus, and sometimes for a gag, out to make Linda Kirkland laugh, I'll sing different words of the songs, and she knows that, she's chuckling back there. When it gets to the last phrase, thou wilt find a solace there, preacher, sometimes I sing, thou wilt find a shoelace there. You know, so tempting to do that last Wednesday night, but I resisted. I didn't want to embarrass you in front of the people. And oh, boy. The cold. Brother Smoot called me right after the plane crash. Of course, he stayed in our apartment last summer sometime, and it's one of those things you just kind of mesh with somebody. We kindred spirits, I guess. I don't know. We're odd ducks. We like to be out in the cold and do crazy things like hunt and things like that. So he had told me a story about hunting, and it was 60 below zero, and they were sleeping in a tent, if you can imagine. So anyhow, Brother Smoot, as many of you know, was in the airplane crash just several weeks ago. And I never expected to hear from him. I texted him. I just said, praying for you, brother. And lo and behold, the next day I get a phone call. It's Nathan Smoot. And he said, brother, I'm back at the North Pole. The town he lives is called North Pole, Alaska. And he says, I've never been so glad to get back to 42 below in my entire life. At 42 below, I was going to text him the other day. I was outside cutting a tree when it was 17 below. And so I feel your pain, Brother Smoot, from far away. My wife and I were gone out. I think we were going to get dog food the other night. And so we made an excuse to go out and eat. But Saturday evening, you know, it got nice out Saturday. Didn't it feel really good Saturday afternoon? It must have, because we pulled to the end of Katy Road, Brother Jack, Katy and Napoleon Road, and we stopped, and there's some traffic coming, turned in front of us. My wife says, well, you look at that. And I looked over, and I just started to laugh. We were both sitting there laughing, and the guy turns in. He was in a convertible with the top down. He saw us laughing at him. He does this number. He knew we were laughing. And wow, I didn't think it was that warm out, but well, praise the Lord. We have just ended Never, Never, Never month with the choir. That's what we're calling February. I don't know if you realize, we sang, I've never been sorry. I've never been that homesick before. And this morning we sang, If We Never Meet Again. So, preacher, I was trying to find one more Never song. We'll add it to the repertoire. Then we'll call it Never, Never, Never month. And so anyhow, that's the intro. Let's get to the preaching. Isaiah chapter 9. I do want to thank. I don't get that much of an opportunity publicly to thank people. And I am thankful for the pastor. I'm thankful for the opportunity just to be allowed to serve. And you don't know what a privilege that is. Some of you people come up and thank me, and I think, if you only knew how... it's a good time. It's great to get to do something for the Lord and to help serve you people. I mean, it's a wonderful thing, and I count it as a privilege. I thank very much the choir, and boy, their faithfulness. You know, we got people, they're out here every week, 4:44. And preacher, we're not kidding. They're here at 4:44. They don't wait till 4:45 and come. They're here right on time. But the choir, the musicians, I thank you. You know, oh boy, they're so patient with me. You know, I'll spring things on Debbie and Robin and Vivian and like all the time. Hey, do you think you could do this? And boy, they're always so accommodating. And I thank you so much. For many of you, you've used your talents for the Lord. And what a blessing. And then for the deacons, you don't know how much I love you guys. And what a privilege it is. And Brother Tom, I don't know if I'm going to have a hard time forgiving you for not being on the deacon board this year. And we're going to miss having you there. And but I very much appreciate you guys. And thank you. Thank you so much for allowing me to serve. I got to thank the Lord for my wife, too. Because all the things that I get credit for, a lot of it's my wife's doing. And preacher, we did send back the cups that you brought Thursday night to the fellowship. My wife already had all that stuff covered. You know, she looks out after us and makes sure we're in good shape. I still hear that ring in there. Could I just use the pulpit, Mike?
How'd I turn this thing off? Is that okay? Could I just pull the plug on in there? Is that okay? You can just turn me off. That's okay. Can you hear me okay? I'll just stay right here. I won't move around, I promise. The sermon is kind of like driving around and looking at Christmas lights. It's kind of like dangling your feet in the river of life, and you're just kind of looking through a photo album. Or preacher's kind of like sitting around and singing Kumbaya. There's no instruction here. There's no challenge here. It's not corrective. I just want to lift up the Savior tonight. Lord knows my heart. I want to glorify Jesus tonight for who He is. I think the last time I got to preach, I said, you know, when deacons preach, it doesn't always work out well for them. You know, it didn't work out well for Stephen. But you didn't stone me the last time. Although I was thinking, you know, Philip was a deacon, and when he went and witnessed to the Ethiopian eunuch, at the end of that, it says that the Spirit of the Lord caught him away, and he was seen no more. And I know some of you are praying for that. I'd be caught away. You wouldn't see me anymore. But I'd like to do what Deacon did, what Deacon Philip did, because the Bible said in Acts chapter 8, he preached unto him Jesus. And I'd just like to talk about Jesus tonight. Lord Jesus has many names in Scripture. Boy, there's so many of them. I just jotted down a few of them. Boy, the Lamb, the Word, the Good Shepherd, the Vine, the Day Star, the Light of the World, the Cornerstone, the Lion of Judah, the Savior, the Master, the Messiah, the King of Kings, Emmanuel, the Son of God, the Son of David, the Son of Man, the Resurrection and the Life. And a lot of us have many different names. I was thinking of our preacher. He's got many different titles that would be assigned to him. He's a pastor. He just said he's on the deacon board too, ex officio deacon. Some people might call him pastor, some call him preacher. He may be called a minister. Some odd duck may call him a parson. I don't know if that's used much anymore. Reverend, teacher, leader, father, dad, husband, son, student, teammate, employee. Boy, you can have a lot of different titles in life, and we all do. And of course, likewise, the Lord Jesus. Many, many different names in Scripture. I'd like to look at a couple of those names tonight in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, if you look back at it again. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray your blessing on the preaching tonight. Lord, I want nothing more than to be a blessing to your people. So many good folks here tonight, Father. I thank you for their faithfulness, Lord. I pray an extra blessing. Holy Spirit, empty me now and take me and use me. I want to uplift the name of Jesus Christ tonight. Lord, may it be a blessing to your folks. I ask in his precious name. Amen. I love to listen. Some of you are going to have a hard time believing this. I love to listen to the Messiah. I've caught the preacher a couple times. I walked in his office and he's playing the Messiah. But boy, there is nothing like hearing Scripture put to music. Oh. Several years ago, my children, knowing that I like to listen to the Messiah, they bought my wife and I tickets to go hear the Messiah. How many have ever gone and heard a live presentation of the Messiah? Abe and Vivian, Fred, a couple of you, Ewalds, yeah. All right, wonderful. Salmons have gone, preachers gone. It is just nothing like it when you sit there and listen. But I tell you what, it was at the Hill Auditorium, you know, the world-famed Hill Auditorium on the University of Michigan campus in Ann Arbor. The only problem was it was on a Saturday night. It didn't start till 8 o'clock at night. Ugh! 8 o'clock at night. Old people like me go to bed early, especially on Saturday night. And I very begrudgingly got ready. My wife and I drove over there. I complained the whole way there. Oh, I can't believe we're gone here on a Saturday night. It's We just don't stay out late on Saturday night because we have something important going on Sunday morning. I did make it through the 10 o'clock news one night last week, but that was a rarity. Brother Sammons, I'm probably like you, you're early to rise, so you're probably early to bed. But anyhow, we went to hear the Messiah, and boy, I tell you, I sat there, and my favorite song, I fell asleep. I didn't get to hear it. The trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised. You know that one? Some of you have a strange look in your face. I fell asleep. I couldn't believe it. I missed my favorite one. But as a young boy, I used to listen to the Messiah. My mother had a 2-record set. It was the Mormon Tabernacle. I almost said the Tab and Apple joke. The Mormon Tabernacle Choir and the Philadelphia Harmonic. I better watch it. Harmonic Orchestra. But I used to listen to that as a young boy, and my favorite song was this verse. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, unto us a son is given. You know, that really, if you'll listen to music, it'll help you to learn verses of Scripture. Boy, there's just so many I could sing for you right now, but for time's sake, I'm not going to do that because I told my wife, we're going to get out of here early. So if I'd have told anybody else, it'd been no problem. I told my wife we're getting out early, so I'm going to hold to that. I'd like to focus on this one verse of Scripture tonight, that one song from that verse, that one phrase in the verse. But most of all, there's one word in that verse that describes, I think it's the sum total of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the very first word, verse number 6. It says, His name shall be called Wonderful. You know what? Wonderful is only used 13 times in Scripture. And this is the only time it's used as a proper noun. It describes the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, it is His actual name. His name shall be called Wonderful. Just like your name is Ed and Joe and Jack, His name is Wonderful. It is His name. Just like the many other names that Isaiah ascribes to Him right here, and there are several others, and I'd like to look at those. Isaiah said that He is a Counselor. And He is a Counselor. You know, Jesus is the one with the answers to every problem in life. It's not like there are no fees involved here. I can remember the old Peanuts comic strip, and Lucy would have her little advice stand, and it had a little sign that said, advice, 50 cents. Good advice, a dollar. You're supposed to laugh there, right? Judy, thank you. I got to get another comic strip for that point, preacher. Peanuts isn't... How many of you know what Peanuts is? What, you never go to the fair and eat them, or what? You doing Peanuts? It'd be Peanuts are, wouldn't it? Jesus, Isaiah said, is a Counselor. He certainly is. You know, He has the answer. Are you discouraged? He has the answer. He's a Counselor for your discouragement. He's a Counselor for apathy. He's a Counselor for disillusionment. He's a Counselor for your finances. He's a Counselor for your health. He's a Counselor for worry. What is worry? You don't have a problem, but you sure are afraid you're going to. That's what worry is. But Jesus, Isaiah said, is a Counselor. He certainly is. Isaiah also said that He is the mighty God. The mighty God. Not just God, He's the mighty God. A little song that the kids used to sing. What a mighty God is He. What a mighty God is He. How's the rest of it go? Anybody know it? Bum, bum, do, do, do. Sing it. What? Oh, preacher, you can't sing it. Shh, be quiet. Adore Him. What a mighty God is He. And He is a mighty God, according to Isaiah. According to a lot of others, you know, the one who spoke the world into existence. Spoke. I mean, God, if you think about God sometime back in eternity, let there be, and it was. I mean, that's hard to fathom, folks. It really is. Try to explain that to Bill Nye.
Reach down. Took His hands, went. Man became a living soul. Not just that guy that He shaped right there. Every procreation from that point, never dying soul. That's strong breath, folks. One little breath. He is a mighty God.
Not just the counselor, but he is a mighty God. I remember years ago, boy, the boxer that I loved to hate. I know you're not supposed to say, I disliked him profusely. Muhammad Ali. How many remember Muhammad Ali? Some of you, oh man, everybody knows Muhammad Ali. Except Grace and Destiny, they don't know who he is. You don't want to know. Muhammad Ali was a boxer, the heavyweight champion of the world for many, many years. And he was the guy that every time he boxed, I rooted against him because I don't like braggarts. And Muhammad Ali was a braggart. You know what he used to say? He used to come out, he's so humble. I am the greatest. I am the greatest. I have on my bulletin board at home a little clipping that I clipped out, a number of years ago. You talk about eating crow. When Muhammad Ali got Parkinson's disease, he actually issued a public statement, and I have it in writing on my bulletin board, I am not the greatest. God is. Jesus is the mighty God, the Word that was there with God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. Isaiah said He's also an everlasting Father. And He is. Proverbs says the glory of children is their fathers. And I don't know about you. I had a great relationship with my dad. My dad's been gone since 1992. I had the privilege of being with him when he went to heaven. And I'll cherish that forever. I was with his dad when he went to heaven. And boy, what an experience to be with somebody when they go to be with Jesus. But I tell you what, 1992, that's been quite a few years. I miss my dad. Preacher, there have been times I wanted to have him on the phone where I could say, what do you think I ought to do here? Isaiah said, He's an everlasting Father. Sometimes it's difficult to fully understand the triune God, that the Word was with God, the Word was God. It's hard for me to comprehend that sometimes. But I can comprehend the fact that He is always there. He's everlasting. You know, I was reading an article just yesterday in the Hillsdale and Primus talking about fathers in the homes of young black folks. 70% of young black men in America today do not have a father in their home. And how tragic. I want to tell you tonight, Jesus is that everlasting Father. He's always there. Isaiah also said, He is the Prince of Peace. And I'd like to say tonight, He certainly is that Prince of Peace. Jesus, the one before someday. You know, I thought about this when Brother Letson was here preaching. I thought, boy, what we're going to get to do someday. We're going to be with Jesus and everybody bows down before Him. I just wonder sometimes, and I'm preaching myself, is the expectation really there? We can get so caught up in, got to have the specials ready for next week. I got to have special music. I got to make sure the choir's ready. I got to talk to the ladies, make sure they're practicing the music. We got the hymn fest coming up. We're trying to put lights in the basement of the church. We're trying to get ready to put the roof on the parsonage of the church. And boy, I tell you, sometimes it's easy to forget. Someday He's coming back. The Prince of Peace. We're going to be there with Him. He's going to sit on His throne. Someday everybody's going to bow the knee. Makes you want to say, prostrate yourself, President. Move over, Muhammad. Hit the floor, Hitler. Bow down, Buddha. There's a lot of stuff going on in the world today. I don't know if you follow current events. Our world is a mess. Someday Jesus is going to come back. You know what? It's all going to be pretty good when Jesus comes back and takes over. And we're going to get to be right there with Him. I don't know if we have the expectation that we need to have. That, woo-hoo-hoo! I'm not a shouter. I'm not preacher. I'm more apt to cry. You know, I'll start weeping sometimes when you're preaching, but I very rarely shout during preaching. I don't know why. I have good friends. Woohoo! Man, they'll shout. Carry on. Praise God. Amen. But I'll tell you, when I start thinking about, you have all these titles of Jesus. He's a counselor. He's the mighty God. He's the everlasting Father. He's the Prince of Peace. But I will tell you what, it's all summed up in that very first word. They're all good titles, but the very top of the list, the one we probably don't use quite enough, you know what it is? He's wonderful. It's not that He is wonderful. That's His name. Wonderful! I got convicted about this. People ask, how you doing? Wonderful. I'm not doing great. I'm not doing super. I'm not doing fine. I'm not doing dandy. Wonderful! Jesus is so wonderful, that's His very name. Webster says, wonderful defined is something that causes wonder. Marvelous, amazing, very good, excellent, or fine. Years ago, I was chatting with Pastor Donald this morning, and he was saying about, boy, I didn't have much time to get the sermon ready this morning, and you know, just found out yesterday I was preaching, and I said, well, I got two or three in my folder there. You want them? I mean, go ahead and preach one of them. I was going to tell him, you know, the one I'm going to preach tonight, I didn't know I was going to preach this tonight, but the one I ended up preaching, I probably outlined when he was still in diapers. Man, am I getting old. I used a Roget's Thesaurus. Now, I used to teach elementary school, and I told my kids, to get out the Roget's Thesaurus, and one of them thought it was a dinosaur. By today's standards, it probably is a dinosaur. I'm sure a preacher pulls out his computer that he carries in his pocket that he calls a phone and has an app for synonyms. And the thesaurus is actually a dictionary of synonyms. Let me tell you what Roget's Thesaurus says about wonderful. Here are the synonyms. Miraculous, marvelous, astounding, ineffable, unspeakable, great, swell, dandy, stupendous, incredible, colossal, terrific, unheard of, striking, unimaginable, astonishing, indescribable, inexpressible, overwhelming. Those are all pretty good synonyms, folks. That's our Savior. That's our Savior. Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. And I didn't realize when I picked the song, Brother Kevin, I picked it because you were playing tonight. Wonderful grace of Jesus. Wonderful the matchless grace of Jesus. God is so wonderful, I can't explain, but I can say glory, hallelujah, praise His holy name. It's wonderful because He saved me. It's wonderful that He forgave me. It's wonderful, wonderful, so very wonderful, wonderful that He is mine. So many songs put to music with that name of Jesus, and I don't think people even realize it. Wonderful! It's His name! You know, the word wonderful, preacher, the Hebrew root, if you look it up on Power Bible, and you click on that thing, you know what comes up and says? A miracle. A miracle. It's not just wonderful that He saved us. It's a miracle that He saved us. It's not wonderful that He can use us. It's a miracle that He can use us. It's not just wonderful that He provides for us. It's a miracle. It's not wonderful that He cares for us. It's a miracle that He cares for us. I saw on a bumper sticker. Boy, I like collecting little sayings from bumper stickers. I don't know if you do or not, but there's just so many out there. Back when I was in Bible college, Brother Becker, I have bumper stickers all over my bumpers just to hold them on. I taught in a Christian school for a number of years. I know it was like to tape those bumpers on. Bumper stickers work great. Solomon preaches at Honk, if you love Jesus. And then another one beside it says, if you love Jesus, tithe. Anybody can honk. My all-time personal favorite, Brother Wright. Jesus may love you, but everyone else thinks you're an idiot. I saw one time. I used to live in southwestern Pennsylvania. I was close to that desolate place to the south of Pennsylvania called West Virginia. It made me think of Brother Hendershot, West Virginia. In fact, I texted him today, and I told him, we're missing you, brothers. It was 17 below here the other day. He texted back, said, 78 degrees here where we're at. And I texted back, shut up. He He's a big West Virginia guy. I told him we were having 1 point tonight, 1 point sermon. Bumper sticker said, "Wild, wonderful West Virginia." I'm thinking we ought to just make our own little bumper sticker. Just, you know what? Hazel, can we make it on the cricket? "Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Jesus." That'd be a good bumper sticker. "Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Jesus." You know, tonight, you think of all the titles of our Lord. I praise God. He's my pearl of great price. I found what I'm looking for. Who's the guy that sings that preacher? Is it Bono? One of those guys. One of those rock guys. I still haven't found what I'm looking for. Every time I hear that thing, I want to grab the guy. "I found it. I know what I'm looking for. I found Jesus. He's wonderful. I found that precious cornerstone, the one upon whom I can build my life, my family, my career. I found that rock, my shelter from the storms of life." I'm going to talk about a jack of all trades. He's the master of all trades. He's not just good at a few things. He's the master at everything. The greatest lawyer, so articulate, confounding the wise of the world. He's the great teacher, giving us truths that have lasted for thousands of years. He's the great physician, the master of all healing, the healer of broken hearts, the great scientist. The wonders of nature, he doesn't study the wonders of nature. Jesus is the wonders of nature. He's wonderful. The most wonderful design engineer, the beauty of the landscape, the Grand Canyon that he designed for us. The Aurora Borealis. I don't know if you've ever been way up north. And I was up in northern Quebec one time, saw the northern lights. We stood there for 45 minutes till our necks hurt, just staring and just praising God. The wonder of it all. The greatest artist, the beauty of the sunset. The greatest musician, the beauty of the songbirds. The greatest astronomer, he knows every star by name. Yeah, the best way to describe him is simply, you just sum it up. He's wonderful. He is wonderful. When I was at First Baptist Church, Dr. Hiles had a ritual. When he was done with the service at night, he'd always go back to his office, and it was a pretty lengthy walk. You'd have to walk down certain hallways, and I don't know, it would be like walking from here down to the other end of the gym, I guess, and you kind of wound around. So I can remember we were picking up the kids at the nursery one night. We just happened to intersect as Brother Howes and his entourage. They always had some armed guards escorting him, and it was quite an entourage coming through. But I can remember my son Luke, my oldest boy at the time. He was probably about maybe 4 years old, and he saw Brother Howes, and he just boom went like a shot down the hall, yelling, "Brother Howes, Brother Howes, Brother Howes!" And Brother Howes heard him. And he stopped, and he was a pretty big man, probably like our preacher, tall. And of course, Luke's just a little shrimp by then, you know, he's a little short kid, 4 years old. And I can remember Brother Howes turned around, he heard the voice, and he turned around, and Luke came running. And he got up to him, and he looked up at him, and Brother Howes said, "Yes." And Luke says, "I got your picture in my bedroom." Brother Howes pats him on the head. Guess what he said? "Wonderful, never forget it, wonderful." I told you it was going to be short. It was 20 minutes of not thinking about the bills, not thinking about your health, not thinking about what you're doing tomorrow. You know what? We just need more time thinking about somebody that's wonderful. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your goodness, Lord.